Man, you know, I'm related to that little dancer. I'm telling you, yes. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's amazing how each and every one of us are created unique. The similarity is the fact that we're all human, and God is the one that created us the way we are. And so there's this common thread. And, you know, in our hearts, every one of us has this built-in knower. We know about eternity. We know this is not really what it's all about. And this just demands that we do something in response. And my belief is it's give. We've got a response to everything that we've been given. When you are born, you just can't live life long without knowing you owe something to someone for what you have. And I think that's why there are apologists. Because there is this built-in knower, and people rationalize away the existence of God as much as possible. But you know what? In the deep recesses of your mind, if we go to face Jesus and we have not made him our Lord and Savior, then we will have no excuse. And so it doesn't matter how much we rationalize away, we owe God everything. And I want to talk just for a couple minutes about some scriptures and some verses that have been rolling around in my mind. So I'm going to ask you to give me some grace today, because I am not going to give you a massive three-point sermon. Some of you feel like that in itself is a gift. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15... these are two verses that I come back to often in my personal devotion. Part of it is because of who I am and my gifts and callings and what I'm doing in response to what God has given me. I give back my time and all of this. I serve him as a pastor. But in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, these words say this: for the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. Now, having concluded this, that one died for all. Now, therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. I'm thinking about many people who have concluded this same thing, that Jesus' love really is real and that Jesus died in their place, that substitutionary death, the theological point of propitiation that God has appeased through that sacrifice of his only son, appeased the legal requirement against every one of us in this room. Every one of us in this room deserves to spend eternity in hell. There's no way around it. I don't care how good we are. We all deserve that. But that wrath and anger is appeased only by the blood of Jesus. That is something you must believe in and confess it. And the minute you do it, something happens with that. You make him your Lord. You can't confess that, or you don't really believe it's love. You've got to be able to confess it. And because you confess it, you believe it's love, and it controls you. And if you don't believe this, just look to the popular genre of military movies. How time and time again in that genre of movies, you see one brother in arms dying for another brother in arms. And then from that point on, there's this like life debt. I owe him my life, man. And they fight for each other. Like, they're willing to die for each other. And it's so dramatic and it's so awesome. You know, this is just, you don't even have to be a Christian to understand that if someone were to lay their life down for you, that you owe them something. You know, Jesus said it this, that, you know, no greater love has anyone than to lay his life down for his friends. And Jesus did that for his disciples and for those that followed him, for you and I. And I look at that and I think, man, if you've concluded this, then verse 15 says, your life is no longer your own. You live for him. That's a gift back to him. And so now I sit here and I find myself often encouraged by people who exhibit this to extreme measures. I want to share with you a story of a young lady named Aaliyah. I have a wonderful young lady in my life that we've kind of adopted. She's like our second Chloe, but just named Aaliyah. We love her so much. And Aaliyah and Chloe are both at Victory College in Tulsa, and they're serving the Lord, and they're doing so great. And we're going to get to see them here in just a short amount of time for Christmas. But this is a different Aaliyah. This Aaliyah was raised and grew in Kenya, and she grew among Somali immigrants. And in 2016, this is what she discovered. She discovered Jesus. And even though she lived in a family that was ultra-conservative Muslim and very, very staunch in their beliefs, and then she was forced to go to school and learn all of the tenets of Islam and practice these things. In spite of that, over quite a long time, she just kept asking questions. She would ask her imam over and over again questions about this and about that, and to the point where they just got irritated with her and told her to shut up. Stop doing this. That didn't stop for her. And then finally, a missionary, and through this way, she found the Bible, she found Jesus, and she began to ask questions there. She didn't get all her questions answered from the actual missionary, and this happens a lot, what I'm about to tell you, in these countries. While she was asleep, Jesus came to her in a dream and said, "Everything you're looking for is true. I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm He." And she came out of that dream and she was changed. It was amazing where there was no physical person to come and affirm the gospel again to her when this little girl needed it. Jesus visited her. And that changed her life. She was the only one. Now you can imagine what this did in her family. Well, wow. Everybody began to have great animosity towards her, began to punish her. All this kind of stuff, she began to think these questions. What if I die today because of the people who hate me now, who know that I'm converting to Christianity and I'm becoming more and more strong in my faith? And I look at this, she sees Jesus. And in 4 years' time of seeing Jesus, she received multiple death threats. She received teachers and individuals, parents and leaders in her life would threaten her life, sometimes at knife point, and tell her that she had to convert. Again and again, this stuff happened. And you know, I love what she says. She says, somebody who serves Jesus is not foolish. I think whoever believes in Jesus and serves Him is supposed to suffer, will suffer. She says, I also believe this, that suffering is a gift from God. Well, she goes flat out and says, because of what Philippians says. And I look at this and I think, wow, even though she's been suffering because of her faith in Christ, she believes that it's all a gift and she's going to continue to serve Him. That's living for Jesus in spite of great opposition. You know, Paul said that we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people. I not only think of that young girl, but I think of many others who serve in that same area and same part of the country. And I was telling my girls about one. We opened up Christmas presents early, and I was telling them about one story, and my heart just breaks because of how much these young kids endure who get what I'm preaching to you today. The reason my heart is stirred is because I really believe that in America we struggle. We struggle, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is at work, but I believe that we're struggling because we have it easy. Now, I'm going to be real transparent with you. This scares me too. It scares me a lot because I feel if we can't serve Him when we have everything you could possibly imagine, then what is it going to take for us to learn to serve Him? Even though I'm a grown man, I don't think I have the guts like Aaliyah to face the knives and the persecution and all of that. I don't have the guts, I don't think. God would have to give me the grace to do that. A lot of people won't serve just because of the fear that's in the public arena. We got people that won't come to church because of it's not safe. We've got people that won't serve God even as ministers because it's not safe. Now, I'm not making fun of any of this because I believe in safety. But sometimes the world's version of love and safe is more like hate and fear. It's not good. And you have to be wide-eyed in your thinking about all of that. You really do. And we're seeing political change in the wind. And I look at all of this, and I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I'll tell you this, I am enough of a man to look at the seasons and be able to tell you if it's getting colder or hotter, if it's about to rain, or if it's going to be a sunny day. And I'm looking spiritually at the season we're in, and I'll tell you, we have endured a lot of great blessing. I said it right, endured a lot of great blessing, and we've come out worser. Worser. We did. Now let me flip it. Here's the hope. In every place where there is persecution and oppression for being a Christian, the church is flourishing. Come on, the church is flourishing. In every place. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, it was in a place of oppression and political upheaval and defeat. He did not live in a free democracy like what we enjoy today. He did not have all of the wonderful things that we enjoy, the material things that we enjoy today. It's amazing. But you know what? If our life is not our own and we're to give it to God and we are honestly open to the prayer, Lord, send revival, then we've got some reckoning to do. Do you believe God's going to answer your prayers? That scares the daylights out of me. Does that scare anybody else? It doesn't scare anybody else. Come on, peoples. This is nuts. One young man, his father was a missionary to the Middle East, and he began to proclaim the gospel message, and he and his best friend, who were both missionaries, they were killed. They were killed. He and his family had to suffer after his dad, the missionary preacher guy, was killed. They suffered persecution, his mom, his siblings, he was just 12 years old when his dad was murdered. And then, instead of getting embittered and all that stuff, to this day, he is an evangelist in the same area, preaching the gospel, and it's spreading like wildfire, and he keeps saying, what Iran is trying to choke out, it is exploding right underneath them, so much so that they're afraid, and they're telling people, we'll kill you at the airport if you're a Christian. We won't even let that come in. Now, I'll tell you what's coming on the winds of change for America is this socialistic mindset, which has an atheist core to it. You will see greater opposition than ever before in the United States of America. Now, this is the hope. It will demand people to give what we say we are wanting to give. If you have reckoned that God has loved you and gave his life for you, just beware. God is giving you the gift of revival in America. I'm not going to be surprised if churches lose their tax status. Go ahead, take it away. I'm not going to be surprised if bad signs show up in your lawn because you're one of those extreme people. I'm not going to be surprised if you suddenly don't get the job promotion because you don't fit the job's culture. You may not experience all of what some church circles have promoted. This is what a blessed life looks like. I'll tell you what a blessed look like. It looks like Fox's Book of Martyrs more than what it looks like in Hollywood. It just looks different. And so I have to say over and over again, Lord, help us to give you our life sincerely. Now here's where I want to make it kind of, okay, Nacho Libre quote, the nitty gritty. The nitty-gritty. We're going to talk about the nitty-gritty. Okay? Here's the nitty-gritty. Romans 12, 1 says that you're supposed to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. So if you're going to live your life for God, that boils down to one phrase. Obey Him. Obey Him. It's very simple. What's coming around the corner for the visible church, the church in America, is going to be handled. Dark valleys or high mountaintop experiences, great revivals or whatever, it boils down to the simple practice of you and me obeying Him. This means many of us have had this Bible for more than a decade or two. I've been in active ministry for over 26 years. But I'll tell you, there are things in here I have a hard time obeying. Anybody else admit that too? This is the season where you have to own up to that. And you will have to deny self, and that's giving to God. It boils down to that plain, simple truth. You must obey Him. I am so amazed at how many people have mixed their faith and say, I can believe, but I don't have to obey. That's not God's love language. If you're going to give love to Jesus, Jesus speaks one love language, obey. That's it. And when you obey the Lord, He sees it as love. So when you give Him something, it is you obeying His voice and saying, I obey you, I'm going to give this to you. And that's love to Him. And that gift is precious to Him. Now, in this Christmas season, it is my desire to give to the Lord my whole heart. And I will obey the Lord with my whole heart. Now, my flesh is going to squeal like a stuck pig or a lamb. It is. It's going to squeal like that because our flesh doesn't like that. But you know what? Everyone in this room, your flesh is just like mine. It's going to squeal. And so you will have to practice and put on Christ in little ways every day, denying self. And that is a gift to Him. Now, and you can't really wrap that under a Christmas tree, but it is so important. And it is the marching orders moving forward. Some have never obeyed even the calling of the Lord on their life. See, if you can't obey that still small voice in the everyday things, what about the big things? God, I have this dream. You know, obeying God awakens the ability to follow those dreams. If you aren't obeying God, then those dreams will always feel a little out of reach. You've got to start practicing obedience in the still small things, in the small areas. Now, here's where I can say we're going to practice it more and more. When you obey God, you don't obey Him to get. That's just not the way it works. You obey because He's Lord. That's the way it is. Now, if it's an arrangement, like say if we're friends, a job, with a boss and an employee, you know, you obey the thrust of the job so you can get the paycheck, right? You know, and if you're in friends, you know, with somebody, you kind of treat the friendship with respect so that you can get, you know, good friendship out of response and stuff like that. That's just base friends. But if you're real good friends, you don't care if they're friendly back. You're going to love them and you're going to be a friend even if they're not a friend. And you just act like all of that. But it all changes when it comes to God. When it comes to God, we have to obey God differently. We have to obey God without any sense of payback. So I want to say in wrapping this up, we need to start practicing fasting and prayer. We're going to fast and pray as Christians in America more now than we've ever done before. I really believe that. And this is the reason. Because we have to deny flesh. Now here's the shift. In charismatic circles, fasting and prayer and other religious sacrifices have often been tethered to what we can get back. I fast and pray to get more permission or power or anointing. You know what? That's not the motivation for fasting and prayer. It is giving of yourself to the Lord. Remember, obedience is denying self and following the voice of the Lord. Fasting and prayer, Jesus was led into times of fasting and prayer. He didn't go into fasting and prayer to get anointing. He followed the voice of the Lord and spent times giving himself, denying his flesh, food, so he could give himself time with the Lord. Now, in our lives, we have to discipline our lives more than ever before. You know, I used to do a lot of fasting and prayer early on in ministry, but my mindset early on in ministry was, this is the way you really get powerful ministries. This is the way your church grows, and this is the way you have breakthrough. And who doesn't want breakthrough? I read about it all the time, and I want to know, I want to see healings. How many don't want to see healings? I want to see healings and miracles and all this other stuff. The key, fast. And usually what happens is I just get hungrier, sick, I get angry at people and stuff like that. And then afterwards I'm like, it was awesome. And I'm telling myself that, trying to convince myself that. And then the same breakthroughs that I had all the time. And I'm like, man, even my friends who don't fast and pray have the same level of ministry that I have. This is crazy. And you know, the reason why some of the things that God speaks to us as dreams aren't realized is because we are not giving. We're still trying to manipulate and get. So this Christmas, I'm asking you to do some counting of the costs. Because I look out here and I see some good Christian folk. Yeah. We's good. You know, some of yous is more gooder than others. But, you know, that's just splitting hairs. As if that mattered before the Lord. You know what I mean? Because goodest, none of that matters. But what matters is your heart, like in Psalms 51 where it says a broken and a contrite heart, that's what he will not despise. We have got to break ourselves and give ourselves to the Lord. Now the joy is knowing him. That's it, knowing him. And I don't want to think about any of the payback that comes, because knowing him is really the greatest reward. And when you die, it won't be what did you do and what breakthroughs and miracles and how many souls you got saved. It will be, do you know me and do I know you? And it would be so sad to say, I don't know you, God, because I had an awesome job that I used for your glory. God, I don't know you because I was busy evangelizing the world. God, I don't know you because I was so religious. I was going to church and working and leading small groups and all this other stuff. I don't know you. Or the other spectrum. Well, I don't know you because I never even gave it effort. I was too busy enjoying what you've given me. And I love these gifts and presents and all the things that you've given me. I never got to know you. And so more than ever before, my heart is stirred to get into the secret place, shut the door to all the world and all of its distractions, and know Jesus on a deeper level. And that requires sacrifice. So when we sang that song earlier today, Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? In my heart, that's what I was thinking. I will offer up my life. I'm telling you, as I'm saying this, if I could let you see in my mind, you would hear the voice of the enemy saying this: you're lying. All you're doing is telling church people what church people expect to hear. And you won't do anything different, and neither will they. And so I have to tell that enemy, he's a liar. He's a liar. Because what I believe is in the last day, God's glorious bride is going to rise up and say, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. I wasn't asleep. I wasn't dumbed and numbed by the materialism of this world and all the other things that could be distracting. I know you, and I'm waiting for you, and I'm waiting. I'm so eager, and I've given myself to you day in and day out. So that when I see him, he sees me. It's like Colossians 3 says, our life is wrapped up and hidden in him. And then we see him and we go, it's me, it's you, it's us, it's like us. And this is so good. And he will know me and I will know him. And there will be no doubt or lack of confidence when I die. So this Christmas, Heavenly Father, I'm just telling you, every one of us want to give our hearts to you and not just lip service to you. We want to give our obedience to you, Lord, and deny self In Romans 6, you said that when we go in that baptismal water and come back out, we're raised to walk in new life. So, Lord, let us walk in newness of life, led by your Spirit, step by step, sowing seeds to the Spirit and not the flesh, resisting the enemy, making no provision for the flesh, but giving ourselves fully to you. Lord, not letting one thing, not our past hold us back, not shame or condemnation hold us back, because in you there is no condemnation. We're clean. We're set free. There's mercy every day to walk after you. And God, give us, like what the psalmist asked, give us that steadfast or willing spirit. One where we would not be the church that wimps out or falls apart, but that we would run hard after you. Oh, Lord Jesus. I want to sing that song, I Will Offer Up My Life Again. But as I do, I want you to think about a couple of the people in the gospel accounts. In particular, can you think about Mary, the mother of Jesus? When you think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, something that your will. Just be it unto me according to your will. And that's the heartbeat of someone who is willing to give Jesus their whole heart. Would you stand with me this morning? Mary was young. She was in her early teens. And what she was being asked of the Lord to do was beyond comprehension. And yet her response was, be it unto me. You know, I don't know what the Lord is asking of you right now in your life, but if you can utter those words, be it unto me, then man, that's the right attitude. I think of Joseph, who was asked to let his good religious box just be thrown away. He was a good man, a really good, a righteous man, so much so that even when the world would say his bride-to-be was unfaithful, he wanted to still honor and respect her and put her away privately. And yet God said, nope, this is of me. And he had to throw away all common sense and follow and obey the Lord's voice and say, okay, be it unto me. I'll take care of her and I'll raise this child that you say is your child incarnate. That's some pretty extreme stuff. The reason I'm saying this now is because Jesus was told by onlookers while he walked the earth, they said, blessed is the womb that carried you and the breast that nursed you. And he said, no, what's more blessed is for those who obey my word. The point wasn't that Mary is, woo-hoo-hoo, Mary is so awesome. Her obedience is awesome. There was nothing supernaturally special about Mary. She just said, be it unto me. And Jesus was the one that pointed that out. Guys, it's not the fact that her name was Mary. It was she was obedient. So this is awesome. You might never have heard that before. So I'm telling you, the attitude of be it unto me is the important thing. So I'm going to sing this song, I Will Offer Up My Life in Spirit and in Truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender, I must give every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Boy, isn't that good? And I'd like you to take a couple minutes as I sing this, and I want you to just do business with the Lord. If there's something in your heart and your mind that you want to maybe vow to the Lord or tell the Lord or deal with, go ahead and do that. Because this isn't just a regular Sunday. This is a different kind of Sunday. I want you to wrap something up and give it to the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. And in surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. And in surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give, or what can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said, or what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Oh, does he deserve your every breath? In this time, as we sing it again, if you've got something, just give that up to him. You deserve my every breath, for you paid that great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on the cross. And you took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, and opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Would you lift your hands this morning and say, Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed. Of the debt of love that is owed. Of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and let his face shine upon you. And may that blessing be on not just you, but on your children and on your children's children as you obey the Lord day in and day out. Church, the altar is open and you are dismissed. Merry Christmas, you guys. See you on Christmas Eve service. Since what can I give? Oh, what can I...
Thank you for joining the Visible Church online. If you have any special prayer needs, please contact the Visible Church through email at prayer@visiblechurchgb.com, or you may call us at 920-569-0944. May God bless you, and I'll see you soon.